everyone. Welcome to Law Talk Live here at the studios of WSKY. I'm Jeffrey Meldon, founder of Meldon Law, and welcome to a terrific show. My son, Kerry's going to be leading us in a discussion of ambulance chasers, if you can believe that. And anyhow, we got a beautiful Mother's Day weekend. A lot of great things going on. Last night, we saw Mike Campbell with his group, The Dirty Knobs, downtown Gainesville. What a awesome show. And there was a surprise guest, which was on the drums, Stan Lynch. And for those of you that know Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Mike Campbell and Stan Lynch are original members of the Heartbreakers, and both of them are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So it was quite a show, sold out house. They're having another show tonight. Just Google Mike Campbell or the Dirty Knobs, and you'll see if you can score some tickets. But what a show. Amazing turnout. The crowd was singing with every song, and Mike Campbell was certainly at his height as far as guitar playing. Amazing guitar player right here from Gainesville, Florida. Anyhow, a lot of other stuff going on. The Florida Gator baseball team won against Mississippi State. So that's good. We need some wins in order to make a deep run in the playoffs. They're coming up, SEC tournament in about 2.5 weeks, and then we turn to the NCAA. So let's see if our Gators can rally. Other things going on. We got the Hippie Fest going on at Heartwood today from 11 to 10. Our friend Bill Killeen, who used to be with Silver City, and he's sponsoring an incredible event out at Heartwood today. And we have a big Meldon Law Day coming up, May 17th. Go to our Facebook page. You can enter a contest to win the first pitch plus 3 seats and a $100 gift certificate to Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. It's all free. All you have to do is to enter the contest, Facebook, Meldon Law, and you're there. And look for the May 17th Florida State game. We had a rain out, so they rescheduled it, and it's going to be Meldon Law Day. We're going to have about 40 people from our office out there with their kids and a whole shebang, cookout. It's going to be a blast, but whenever Florida State comes to town, it's a big deal. Anyhow, we're here at Law Talk Live. I'm here with my co-host, Kerry Meldon. How you doing this morning, Kerry?
Good morning, Dad. I'm happy to be here. This is the first time we've done the show together in quite a few weeks, and it was fun going to the concert last night. The Mike Campbell concert, the Dirty Knobs, was a really fun show, and it was great to have the two of the Heartbreakers back in Gainesville.
Yeah, we had incredible band. I mean, two Rock and Roll Hall of Famers plus the bass player, I think, played with Don Henley. And the other guitar player, with along with Mike, playing rhythm guitar, he was awesome. So it was a great turnout, all ages.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the if you guys are wanting to see some Gainesville legends, probably one of the most accomplished rock and roll guitarists that's currently living. Mike Campbell obviously was the front man for the Heartbreakers for almost a quarter century. I guess more, God, longer than that.
No, 40 years.
40 plus. Years.
Well, actually, he was with Tom Petty with Mudcrutch since 1970. Tom passed, I think, in 2017.
Wow.
So that's, what, 47
years. Yeah. And now he's also doing a gig with Fleetwood Mac. So he's the lead guitarist for Fleetwood Mac. So there's not many other times you're going to see a caliber guitarist such as Mike Campbell in Gainesville. And they are playing tonight. I think you probably can get tickets if you're interested in checking them out.
Yes, absolutely. So what kind of topic do we have today, Kerry?
Well, today's a fun topic. We're going to talk about what is ambulance chasing, and is the term a deserved term? So obviously, Dad, you know, my grandfather was a personal injury lawyer. Dad's a personal injury lawyer. I'm a personal injury lawyer. We have been called ambulance chasers forever. And, you know, you take it with... You take it with a grain of salt in some respects because it's not always accurate. Excuse me, we're having a little bit of a coughing here. You want to go out? You want to exit? And I'll,
no, I'm okay. I'm rehabbing.
All right. He's rehab. So, anyways, so the term ambulance chasing was is probably, like most terms, does have a grain of truth in with regards to how it came about. What it means and whether it's valid. And today's topic, we're going to talk about how it first kind of started, what it means, and why it's important that people out there know that ambulance chasing is unethical and actually can be lead to lawyers being disbarred. So if you are being ambulance chased, you need to call the Florida Bar as soon as possible, turn them in, so we can get those ambulance chasers off the streets. But before we start, let's talk a little bit about personal injury law, civil law, tort law. Essentially, for the listeners out there, when you are injured through no fault of your own and you decide to file a claim, it's under what's called civil law or tort law, which came from English common law. And Jeffrey, I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about, you know, your experience, if you remember anything from law school about English tort law or common law, but do you remember where the word tort came from?
Well, I remember the first tort case I learned, which was IDF versus wife, where somebody was charged with an assault because I think he was going to throw a hatchet at his wife.
All right, well, there you go. Well, apparently, the tort law that was established in England originally, according to Wikipedia, if we can believe that or not, comes from the Roman Dutch law. So it's got it's got a lot of history. But the reason I'm talking about it today is that before insurance was created, people would only get damages in the form of personal property, and sometimes it would mostly be chattel or personal property. Sometimes it would be money as well.
Yeah, because without insurance, most people are living day to day, and in Florida, your home is protected, your car is protected, certain retirement assets are protected. So without insurance, it's almost impossible to collect.
And insurance is really a 20th... there's always been some forms of insurance, but it's really a 20th century invention. Insurance in and of itself is a beautiful thing, right? I mean, insurance makes so much sense to govern people's behavior on a daily basis, because if someone has nothing that they can lose, if they're judgment-proof, for example, then their behavior really can't be... modified. In other words, someone can just say, well, I'm going to do whatever I want because I don't have anything. And if I hurt someone and they sue me, they're not going to get anything, right? So people, without insurance, without the creation of insurance, there was a society of people that were allowed to do whatever they wanted without any type of fear or repercussion for their actions, as long as it wasn't intentional. So if they were driving crazy, or if they were, you know, doing something that hurt another person, and they didn't have any money, then the law was basically, well, there's nothing you can really do, because in the United States, we don't have what's called debtor's prison. You can't put someone in jail just because they owe money.
Yes, absolutely. We're going to take a 60-second break on Law Talk Live, and we'll see you around the corner. Since 1971, Meldon Law has been dedicated to giving back to our community with programs like Law Talk Live on the Sky every Saturday at 10:30. You can also join our podcast, Meldon Law and Friends, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on Facebook, YouTube, and 37 other audio platforms. Meldon Law, the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators, now with offices in Gainesville, Ocala, and Lake City. Welcome back to Meldon Law, Law Talk Live. I'm Jeffrey Meldon. I'm here with my co-host, Carrie Meldon. And we're talking about insurance. So, Carrie, we're talking about the origins of insurance. My understanding is insurance started when people were sailing ships and they wanted to guarantee that the ship would get from one port to the next port. And institutions like Lloyd's of London got involved and said, oh, well, we'll you know, for a certain price, you know, ensure that the loads would get there. I guess they were worried about either pirates or other countries attacking their ships. So insurance has a long history. However, auto insurance, as we know, remember automobiles weren't common until the 1900s. There was certainly insurance before World War II, but the real breakout in many things, you know, car insurance, health insurance, all that occurred after, all occurred after World War II.
When, correct.
As far as most people having some kind of insurance. So after World War II, there was a huge ramp up as far as the personal injury attorney field because people had insurance. And, you know, there's no sense in getting a judgment against somebody if you can't collect on it. So if somebody slams into you, causes life-altering, serious, you know, injuries, and you're really entitled to a large sum of money because the person didn't act in a cautious way, then you had some avenue to collect, and that was through insurance.
Right, and... And going back to ambulance chasing, my understanding is that the term was created, you know, I think in the, before the, I think at the turn of the 19th century, so even before automobiles. But back then, it was a very few amount of the lawyers that were actually chasing, you know, alleged victims to the hospital. It wasn't as as widespread as it became after World War II because insurance was created, which was... which allowed a lot of money to be available for lawyers to collect if they were able to get the best cases. And so at the end of the day, the American Bar Association found that there was some issues with basically unlawful solicitation or ambulance chasing, basically lawyers and or runners going to the hospital or calling people on the phone or going to their house and asking for their business. And they said that there needed to be some regulations that the states needed to regulate lawyers from soliciting business directly. In other words, you couldn't go to the hospital and visit someone without their permission or without someone giving them permission to visit the hospital. And same thing with calling them on the phone or going to their doorstep. And Florida, in fact, has its own laws that prevent what we commonly term ambulance chasing.
Yes, you're not even allowed to reach out to someone through the mail until at least 30 days have passed. And by that time, most people know if they've been injured and if they need an attorney to help them.
And because insurance became so prevalent, because there was so much money out there, you had a lot of lawyers looking for these cases. And then I think it was, what, the early mid-1970s, where the Supreme Court allowed... lawyer advertising, correct?
So, 1977, Arizona v. Bates, and it went into effect January 1st, 1978. So that's the birth of advertising. And what lawyer advertising has done is, I think, shown you know, the good side and the not so good side, you know, as far as, you know, how to advertise.
Every damn commercial on the TV is a lawyer commercial.
Oh, man, I hate it. I hate it.
We're somewhat guilty, but we don't have as much lawyer. We do more on the radio, but we have to, because here's the problem. If you don't advertise in the United States these days, you won't get any cases and you'll no longer be able to operate a law firm. And it sucks because we do really good work for our clients. We care about our clients. We work our cases really hard. And we've been around for 50 years. And then you get some younger guy comes in with a bunch of money from however they got it. And they'll just throw up, you know, 1,000 billboards and 1,000 commercials. And then you're sitting there thinking, okay, well, how are you going to compete with that?
Well, my feeling, Kerry, is that we do extraordinarily good work. We want people to know about it, and we're doing a service to the community by letting people know we're out there. And the folks can sort out, you know, what kind of a lawyer they want.
That's true. That's the great thing about this country. You can choose whoever you want. You can fire your lawyer and hire another lawyer. You don't have even if you sign a contract, a legal contract with a lawyer. You can terminate that contract whenever you want and hire the lawyer of your choice, which is I think it's amazing that we have that in this country. You know?
Yes. No, I here's the thing. The one good thing that lawyer advertising has done is to let a lot of people know that they have rights that they weren't aware of before.
Absolutely. And it's just like what it is, it's just like advertising anything, whether it's a truck or a Coke, or if you're advertising a surgery. You see these vasectomies, and some of you see plastic surgeons. Basically, the reason that advertising is not considered ambulance chasing, because you're just putting your message out there, and the public can discern whether or not they want to contact you based upon that message. So the commercials and everything that you see on TV is not considered ambulance chasing under the Florida Bar's rules.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, I think that the lawyers that live and work in the Gainesville, Ocala area, during my 51 years as an attorney, I think they're, for the most part, very ethical people.
Yeah. I you know what? I lived in South Florida for 4 years. I was practicing in Fort Lauderdale, and there was rumors. I went to a dinner one time with a professional in the legal community, and she said that there were lawyers down there buying cases for up to $50,000 to $100,000 per case if it was a trucking accident. And basically what they would do is they get the tow truck driver or even the police officers to give the person who was injured their card. It was illegal soliciting. But South Florida is basically another country. It's the Wild West. And down there, bad behavior is rewarded, unfortunately. And it's almost like we have two different states between North Florida and South Florida. And I love parts of South Florida. I think the culture is amazing. I think the weather's obviously incredible. I think there's a lot of really good people down there, but there's also a lot of shysters.
That's why we're here on Law Talk Live. We want to hear the unvarnished truth. We'll be back in 60 seconds on Law Talk Live. Everybody knows that Meldon Law is the only official injury law firm partner of the Florida Gators. However, since we first opened our doors in 1971, we've been your community partner as well. With over 600 scholarships awarded through our Meldon Law Scholar Athlete Program, as well as our Veterans Making a Difference initiative, Meldon Law now has offices in Gainesville, Ocala, and Lake City. MeldonLaw.com, where we won't back down. Okay, we're back on Law Talk Live. I'm Jeffrey Meldon here with my co-host, Kerry Meldon. Kerry, I was talking earlier about the big Florida State game coming up May 17th at 7 p.m. at the ballpark. The Florida ballpark is now the Condren ballpark, named after Gary Condren, who has donated so much money to help Florida sports, and it's deserved that the ballpark's named in his honor, and hopefully he'll be able to help us get a bunch of NIL money for baseball so we can get some pitchers, huh?
Yeah, they're talking about reining in the NIL laws. I don't know if you've been reading the articles, but they're talking about not allowing boosters to be able to give money to collectives that would support athletes at the school in which they are a alumni or a booster.
So would that be, how would that help the situation?
It wouldn't help the situation for Condren. It wouldn't help the situation for the team, but it might even the playing field in terms of schools not having one billionaire booster like Miami that would basically pay the kids just to come to the school, to induce them to attend the university. Because the law, as written in the state of Florida, says that you cannot pay a potential attendee of the university as an inducement for them to attend that university. It's supposed to be simply a fair market value for their name, image, and likeness, meaning what are they worth as they sit after they've already enrolled in the school. And what it's being used as now is basically an inducement.
A recruiting tool.
A recruiting tool. And it was never meant to be that. So, you know, honestly, you know, you got this guy in Miami who, MSMP Recovery, the lawyer, John Ruiz, who's worth $20 billion. He's already shelled out $10 million to get people to come to University of Miami under his, he has this company called Life Wallet, which is like an ambulance company. I don't know what it is. I don't know the details of it, but you can look it up. And he gives these kids basically sponsorship money in exchange for them being spokesmen for this ambulance company. It's like, why would you want a college kid to be a spokesman for an ambulance company? That makes very little sense in the real business world. That wouldn't be a real quid pro quo relationship, right? Because there's not a rational relationship between a college kid and the service that he's offering.
Or the endorsement by a college kid.
Right, right. The whole purpose was to allow real endorsements and real money to go to the athletes that were that should be able to profit off of it. For example, if they were featured in a video game, right, and they had their name on a video game like EA Sports, they should get some money from that because they're actually using someone's name, image, and likeness for profit. And that was where it was originally supposed to be intended to compensate the student athlete. Now it's gone into some ridiculous fantasy land where it's basically what you're saying, Gary Condren comes in with $20 million and pays people under NIL, but it's really has nothing to do with a true quid pro quo business relationship.
Well, here's the thing. Florida has a law that limits our NIL rules. However, we're competing against the best teams in the country in most sports. And I think until there's a uniform rule across the country,
absolutely,
we're not going to have a left.
We have to. If there's no going to be no rules, you got to play the way that the rules are currently set up, which there are no rules. And so, you know, in my mind, I think there's going to be some hell to pay for some of these boosters that are doing it illegally. I don't know what's going to happen, but they're going to figure out
what's
something.
What's illegal, though?
You're not allowed to pay a college athlete money as an inducement to attend that university, which is exactly what's happening.
Okay, well, that's, you know, that may be the rule, but nobody's observing it. And, you know,
we're a nation of laws, Dad. Yeah. As lawyers, I can tell you we should be following the laws that are on the books.
Okay, yeah. So is there a relationship between the fact that Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher have the best recruiting class ever?
Oh yes,
and they also have $30 million in NIL money.
Absolutely, I mean, a lot of these kids are first time college attendees. They don't have generational wealth. You know, some of their parents have never even gone to college before, and all of a sudden they're being offered a lot of money. You can't blame them for wanting to attend a university and getting, you know, six-figure NIL / or quote unquote endorsements. I mean, I don't blame the kids at all. Kids are doing what's best for them. It's the system that needs to be managed.
Yeah, well, look, I've always said NIL, give it 3 or 4 years and we'll see where it's at. But in the meantime, the Gators have to compete and we have to start recruiting. And Billy Napier and John Golden can do, amazing job of being coaches, but they still have to compete as far as the NIL money in order to get people.
But Florida will be better off if everything's even. Let's say like there's no cheating going on above or below board. Let's just say there isn't. Let's say they write the rules so people can get compensated fairly, evenly, right? Florida's the fastest growing state. They're the flagship university. They're in the best conference. and they've got a huge alumni base, and they've got a great stadium to go play, and they're about to build an $80 million practice facility. Everything even, in a vacuum, there is no better university to attend if you want to play college football than the University of Florida, and you could put me on a lie detector test, and I would pass it every time. Every time. There's no, I mean, you tell me, you can live in Florida, there's no state income tax. You can actually get a really great education other than Vanderbilt. It's the number two academic institution. It's in the best conference. We put a ton of people in the NFL. I mean, I should be a football coach because I think I can go into these kids' living room and say, look, if you come to University of Florida, you're going to set you and your family up for life. If you do the things you're supposed to do, and we do the things that we're supposed to do, which is hire competent coaching staff, which I think we finally have done with Coach Napier. He seems to be a hard worker. He's got a staff of 50 people helping him. He's extremely organized, and he's not a BSer. He's apparently a man of faith, and he believes in what he says, and he's going to be holding our student athletes accountable for their actions, which in any situation, whether it's an adult work life or a student athlete, you need to hold people accountable.
Well, in spite of all the, goals that you have as far as how to level the playing field, right now we need about $15 million this year.
Well, Gary Condron has that much money.
He's going to be the baseball guy, but the football people, there's about 50 people who are alumni in Florida who can cough up $1 million a year. And look, we still have to have the best football team possible.
We have to play by the rules that are before us. And right now there are no, it's like Outback, right? No rules, just right.
Wild West. But anyhow, yeah. we're getting to the end here of Law Talk Live. Again, you have a chance to have a first pitch. And if you're shy and want to designate someone else for the first pitch of the Florida State game, baseball, May 17th, 7 p.m. at the Florida Ballpark, Condren Ballpark, Meldon Law. You just go to Meldon Law Facebook page and you can enter it. And we're going to give you 3 free tickets and a $100 gift certificate to Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. I think we're ready to wrap up this edition of Law Talk Live. The Hippie Fest today at Heartwood. Don't forget, starts at 11 to 10 o'clock. And let's end the show with a little gator cheer. 1, 2, 3.
Go Gator.
Gators.
From the Meldon Law Studios.
Meldon Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators.
This is News Talk 97.3 The Sky.